الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward is for those who have the consciousness of Allah. And surely there is no ill feeling or animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way, establish the sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself again and you to have taqwa, that we should culture our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize that it is the most important element in our whole lives. It is taqwa that gives us the understanding to make the right decisions. It is taqwa that informs our Creator that we are serious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in His mighty book concerning taqwa and told us in Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has the consciousness of Allah, has that connection, then Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, he will provide for that person from a place that he never thought. Then Allah continues and tells us, and whoever depends upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient. Surely Allah will reach His purpose, and He has made a limit for everything. These are divine words revealed through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly to us, telling us the importance of taqwa, the importance of the consciousness of Allah, and then reminding us also that our tawakkul, our dependence, has to be only on Allah Azza wa Jal. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it very clear that you have tawakkal ala Allah, at the same time you tie your camel. So you depend upon Allah, but you do what is necessary in this life in order to bring about the results. So a Muslim does not just have blind faith. We recognize that the ultimate decision maker in our life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are tested with a choice, constantly making the right choice. We choose to do right or we choose to do wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about taqwa in many places. And in speaking about this, one time he was asked, Su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an akthari ma yudkhil an-nas al-jannah, فَقَالَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Once the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the main reason why people would enter paradise? And he said, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ, the consciousness of Allah and good character. That is the main reason why. It is not the amount of your prayers, although that's important. It is not the length of your beard, although that can be from the sunnah. It is not just the food you eat or the slogans you say, but the character, the manifestation. What are we doing in this world? How does it come out? So two factors: taqwallah wa husnul khuluq. So the consciousness of Allah leads to the character. It leads, it initiates character. And so if we really do believe in Allah, if we really want to be a good person, then we shouldn't be swearing, we shouldn't be lying, we shouldn't be involved in haram activities, because that is the manifestation, as the Prophet ﷺ said. وَسُئِلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَنْ أَكْثَرِ مَا يُدْخِلِ النَّاسَ النَّارِ فَقَالَ الْفَمْ وَالْفَرَجِ. He was also asked, what is the main reason why people would enter the fire? And he said, the mouth and the private parts. And we see today how crucial it is, the things that we say. We see the test that is on us in this world, the fitna, the trial and tribulations, and the trial and tribulations of our relationship, male and female, family building. This is one of the most crucial issues that we are facing in this world. And so we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek refuge in His complete words from the evil He has created. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. I seek refuge in the complete words of Allah from the evil He has created. And so on this day of Jumu'ah, this is the day when Muslims traditionally would take refuge in Surat Al-Kahf. It is in Surat Al-Kahf that information comes, that protection comes, that was crucial for the believers in those days, and is getting more and more crucial as we go toward the Day of Judgment, Ayyam al-Fitn, the time of trials and the tribulations. And the trials are getting worse and worse as time goes by. But the greatest of trials, which has not come yet, is the trial of Masihi Dajjal. And the Prophet ﷺ has reported to have said, من حفظ عشر آيات من أول سورة الكهف عصم من فتنة الدجال. رواه مسلم. Whoever memorizes 10 verses from the beginning of Surat Al-Kahf will be protected from the trial and the test of the Antichrist. Then he said, من قرأ الكهف يوم الجمعة فهو معصوم إلى ثمانية أيام من كل فتنة تكون فإن خرج الدجال عصم منه. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person reads Surat Al-Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, he will be protected. He will be protected for 8 days from every fitna that will appear. And if Dajjal appears, he will be protected. So Surat Al-Kahf is a crucial chapter from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is crucial for us in these days not only to just read, but to begin to understand. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this chapter so important? What are the circumstances surrounding the chapter of the cave? What are the stories about the main individuals in the chapter of the cave? This is something for us to study in details to understand what Allah azza wa jalla was giving us. There are many great lessons in Surat Al-Kahf. And it is reported that in the fourth year of the Meccan period, after the beginning of the Nubuwa, the prophethood, the Quraysh were punishing the Muslims, severely punishing, torturing them, driving them out of their homes, taking their lives, stealing their property. And the mustada'afin, the weaker ones of the Muslims, were in trouble, and even the stronger ones were in trouble. And it reached the point where the Prophet ﷺ clearly stated to his followers, He gave them direction, and it is based upon revelation. Because it was in the middle of the fifth year that Surah Al-Kahf is revealed. Right at the time of the height of the fitna, of the trials and the tribulations. And it is a chapter of movement. It is movement. And we see of the many stories in Surah Al-Kahf, we find that the chapter itself is named after Ashab Al-Kahf, the companions of the cave. And these are people who are followers of Isa alayhi salam, who had to flee with their faith to protect their religion. So the key issue is they just didn't run away, but they were protecting their religion. We also find in this chapter, we find the story of Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam was seeking knowledge, and he had to make movement in order to reach this knowledge. We also find the story of Dhulqarnain, the righteous king, who traveled in the earth. He traveled in the earth, confronting the fitna, confronting the trials and the tribulations that people were facing all over the world. And it is interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us in Surah Zumar, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqu rabbakum. So the verse starts, O you who believe, have the consciousness of your Lord. Fear your Lord. Taqwa, right? And then one of the key verses of hijrah, of movement, is revealed. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. So Allah revealed in this mighty verse, O you who believe, fear your Lord, have the consciousness of your Lord. For those who do righteousness in this world, there will be righteousness. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. So anybody who does righteousness, you will get righteousness for this. But then Allah said, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. Allah's earth is wide. Don't restrict yourself to one particular part. And then Allah finished the verse by saying, Verily, the patient ones will gain their reward without any account. An unending reward will come for those who have sabr. And so with this encouragement and direction, the Prophet ﷺ spoke to his followers. And he is reported to have said, لَوْ خَرَجْتُمْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ الْحَبَشَةِ فَإِنَّ بِهَا مَلِكًا لَا يَظْلُمُ عِنْدَهُ أَحَدٍ وَهِيَ أَرْضُ صِدْقٍ حَتَّى يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ فَرْجًا مِمَّا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said to his followers, If you, my companions, go out to Al-Habasha, go to Abyssinia, go across the Red Sea to Ethiopia. In other words, he's telling them, make hijrah. Make hijrah. He said, if you would go to Al-Habasha, there is a king in it who does not oppress anybody. He doesn't allow oppression. And it is a land of truth. Hiya ardu sidq. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Go there until the time when Allah gives you an opening and changes your conditions. And so this is divine guidance coming from the Prophet ﷺ, telling them to go across the Red Sea, not to a Muslim country, but to a country of Christian people who are ruled by a Christian. How was the Christian described? The Prophet ﷺ said, he is a king, he doesn't allow oppression. So in other words, the Muslims were allowed to migrate to a land where there would be safety, where their basic rights would be respected as human beings. He gave them the permission to do this. But he told them, stay in this place until you get a chance to come back. So he did not leave it that you stay there forever, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sorts out your situation. And many people, when they look at muhajireen, when they look at the people who are making hijrah, and the world today says refugees, there are refugees for many different reasons. And we ourselves have to recognize that this is part of our tradition. And it is not something which is only the weak people in the earth, the people who could not stand for the religion. And there's an interesting quote by one of the great scholars of Islam, Ibn Kathir, in his history book called Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. This is a very important Islamic history book. And to give you some details about this hijrah, I quote Ibn Kathir, and he said, فَخَرَجَ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ حَبَشَةٍ مَخَافَةَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَفِرَارًا إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ بِدِينِهِمْ. He said, and so at that point, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, made this statement, companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, left out of their lands to Abyssinia, having fear of the fitna, the trials and tribulation they were going through. However, they were running, or they were moving, to protect their religion. They were protecting their religion. So this is not a hijrah of fear. This is not a political hijrah. But this is a hijrah of the deen. And then Ibn Kathir continues, فَكَانَ أَوَّلَ الْهِجْرَةِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَكَانَ أَوَّلْ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عُثْمَانِ ابْنِ عَفَّانِ وَزَوْجَتُهُ رُقَيَّ بِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So Ibn Kathir continues and he said, this was the first migration in Islam. This was the first hijrah. And it was the first time that the Muslims went out. And the first amongst them to go was Uthman ibn Affan and his wife Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, wa radiyallahu anhumah. This is the Ashraf. This is the best of the Muslims. This is the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who's making hijrah. So we cannot look at hijrah or look at a Muslim refugee looking down on that person. It is the best of humanity who was the first of the Muslims to leave out of their lands. No doubt hijrah in all its forms has become an international phenomenon. All people are called on to deal with this crisis of mass migration on the planet. The United Nations has just released information saying that now they say that there are over 244 million migrants or refugees in the world. Since the year 2000, the migrants, those fleeing their countries, it has increased 41%. There are more people leaving their countries than babies being born. It is higher than the international birth rate. So this is a reality. But I remind myself and you that the hijrah of Islam is a special hijrah. And the Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. And he said very clearly in authentic hadith, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said in speaking about, this is the famous hadith of Niyyah, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, but whoever's migration is for Allah and His Messenger, it'll be for Allah and His Messenger. But if the migration is to get married or to get something from the world, then that's all they're going to get. And so the hijrah amongst us is a hijrah leaving for our faith. And what is so beautiful about the hijrah to Al-Habasha is that the Prophet ﷺ wrote to Najashi, the leader of the Ethiopians. He wrote a diplomatic brotherly letter. And Najashi accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu. But there was no pressure. There was no force for the Muslims going into a Christian land. They were not forced to become Christians. And there was no force in the letter of the Prophet ﷺ to Najashi. It was a brotherly letter describing to him that our belief in Isa ﷺ is fundamentally the same. And so Najashi accepted this. Allah opened his heart and he accepted Islam. And when he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ was informed. He gathered his followers and he said, line up, one of your brothers has died today. And they made Salatul Janazah lil Ghaib, janazah for the absent person, for the first time. And so it was a beautiful hijrah. And this is the ongoing situation we are in. And alhamdulillah, we have brothers and sisters now coming in large waves. But this is not the first wave. The majority of us here, including myself, we're not born in Canada. We are all migrants in a sense. So we need to look upon this movement as something which is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the duty of the believers to be involved. And alhamdulillah, the parallel is that as safety was in Abyssinia, there is safety here in Canada, alhamdulillah. And the society has opened up. And that is a parallel that we need to be thankful for. Because it may not be the same thing just south of the border. And so, we need to recognize those people who are embracing our migrants, our muhajireen, in the same way as Najashi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people. In the United States, in the month of December, in a Christian college that is called Wheaton College, is a famous Christian college in America. One of the tenured professors, an African American woman, a tenured professor, Laricia Hawkins, she went online, she went openly to the press, and she put on hijab. In the face of Islamophobia raging in the land in America, she put on hijab. And she said clearly that the belief of Muslims and Christians and Jews, it is Abrahamic religion. It's ultimately the same God. And because of this, she has been suspended from her job and probably will be fired. A tenured professor. But she is not backing down. This is not a Muslim. It's somebody that inspiration is coming through. And we need to make a dua for her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept her and enter her into the faith of Islam as he entered Najashi, rahimahullah. And so, in this situation that we find ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifesting miracles around us. And Allah is giving us a parallel with the first hijrah of Islam. And so we can live Islam now. We can now begin to implement what was shown to us in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By taking our position as a community, by supporting our muhajireen, by encouraging those who are not Muslim who are supporting muhajireen and showing solidarity with them. And praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He would open up the Muslim world, that He would bring peace back to the lands of Islam. We need to pray constantly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring peace back to Syria and to Iraq and Afghanistan and Somalia and all of the lands where the Muslims are suffering now, to bring peace and stability back to this land and to raise up rightly guided leaders who can take us in a balanced way from darkness into light. May Allah clear our hearts of any ill feeling. May Allah guide all those who are traveling in His path. And may Allah give them and us success in this life and the hereafter. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، فيقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صلى علي وحده صلى الله عليه بها عشرة. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفئ عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع ربنا. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله يرحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.